Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're plunging into a really fascinating and honestly crucial topic for any organization trying to navigate the modern world. We're looking at the intricate relationship between agile, digital, and AI transformations.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just about buzzwords, you know, it's about understanding how these powerful forces actually interweave. What does it really take for organizations to thrive amidst all this rapid, constant change.
Right.
We're drawing from some really insightful articles by Rob Van Linde. He's an expert in agility, innovation, digitalization, AI, the whole lot. Our mission for you today is to pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge from these sources, give you a clear, concise pathway to grasp these concepts, and hopefully some immediate, actionable understanding for your own context.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating here, I think, is that while these three types of transformation might seem, you know, separate at first glance, Rob Van Linde's work really shines a light on their fundamental connection. They're almost inseparable, actually. And if you look at the bigger picture, there's one crucial unifying thing that underpins all of them.
Which is?
Organizational culture. It's like the invisible thread weaving through every single one of these shifts.
Okay, culture. Let's definitely circle back to that.
Yeah.
But first, let's unpack this word transformation itself. It gets thrown around a lot. What does Rob Van Linde actually mean by it here? Because it sounds like it's more than just adopting a new tool.
Oh, absolutely. He points out, for instance, that AI transformation goes far beyond the use and pure application of artificial intelligence. It's not just about using AI. Instead, he says it means setting a holistic framework for the value-adding use of AI. Mm-hmm. And that includes, yes, economic improvement, that's often the focus, but also cultivating the necessary organizational and cultural conditions. Say, culture again.
Right, it's comprehensive, a whole system shift.
Yeah.
So to really get this, we need to explore these three core types he talks about: agile, digital, and AI.
Exactly. Let's dig into each one, starting with maybe the foundations.
Makes sense. Let's kick off with agile. Lots of people have heard the term, probably used some form of it, but what does Rob Van Linde say is really at its core beyond the stand-ups and sticky notes?
Well, at its heart, an agile way of working is about empowering companies to develop better products faster. Simple as that, really, and the outcome. Ideally, happier employees and customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's about flexibility, responsiveness in a world that changes so quickly.
Wow, I sense a butt coming.
Yes, here's the catch. Rob Van Linde cites a McKinsey study, pretty telling, that found 70% of companies struggle with establishing an agile culture. And another report, the 14th State of Agile from 2020, even noted that very few companies actually succeed in truly embedding it deep down.
70%, wow.
Yeah. The biggest roadblock isn't the framework, the process. It's the people side, the culture.
Okay, so that 70% figure really highlights a massive cultural hurdle. If culture is the biggest challenge, what does an agile culture actually look like? What are its, you know, defining characteristics?
Rob Van Linde breaks it down into six core principles. First, purpose. Employees need to align with the company's vision, find their work meaningful, understand the why. Second, trust and transparency. This means open communication, feedback-based work, sharing knowledge widely, and crucially, creating psychological safety. People need to feel safe to speak up, to challenge.
That psychological safety piece feels key.
It's fundamental. Third, an open error culture. Focus on the cause of errors, not blaming individuals. View mistakes as, well, fuel for learning and improvement. Fourth, innovation and willingness to learn. You need to encourage thinking outside the box, recognize failure not as an endpoint, but as a learning opportunity.
That sounds easier said than done in many places.
It often is. Fifth, adaptability. Being proactive about reacting to changes, adopting new ideas quickly, and empowering employees to take appropriate risks. Calculated risks, of course. And finally, sixth, a relentless focus on customer added value. Aligning everything mindset, processes to deliver high value for customers. He uses the phrase, happy teams, happy customers. They go hand in hand.
Okay, that paints a clear picture. But like you said, implementing something like an open error culture in a place that's traditionally blame averse,
yeah,
that sounds incredibly tough. Does Rob Van Linde offer specific advice on how to actually do that, how to overcome that resistance and establish this kind of culture? What are the practical steps?
He does, absolutely. It's okay. Definitely a process, not a switch you flip, but he breaks it down into five essential steps. First step, develop a vision. It needs to be clear, concise, but also flexible. Identify maybe 3 to 5 key mindsets or behaviors you really want to change. It's about direction, not a rigid map.
Okay, so set a clear intention. What's step two?
Second, start with a select group. You can't boil the ocean, right? Don't try to transform everyone at once. Begin with opinion leaders, and these might not be the obvious managers, could be influential people deeper in the org, and you absolutely need a committed leader with a budget backing this group. He gives the example of Spark, a telecommunications company. They kicked off their cultural change with just 70 volunteers out of 5,000 employees. A focused start.
So, like a pilot group, but focused on culture leaders, empowered from the top. Interesting. What happens once you have that initial group going?
Third step is make it personal. Employees need the space to figure out what agile culture means for them in their context. This allows a dynamic to emerge that's both top-down from the vision and leadership support and bottom-up from individual and team innovation. Leadership here acts more like poaches, less like dictators.
Yeah, personal ownership.
Fourth, design the architecture. This is where you look at the practical stuff. Redesigning structures, processes, technologies to actually support the behaviors you want. You might use known agile frameworks like Scrum or Kanban, or maybe SAFe if you're scaling up, or you could mix and match elements from different ones to fit your specific pain points and goals. These frameworks give you a structure for iterating and collaborating.
That architecture part sounds like a big undertaking. Is it a one-time setup or more of an ongoing thing?
Definitely ongoing, which leads to the fifth step. Monitor and learn. You have to prepare for mistakes. They're part of the learning process, not failures to be punished. Regular retrospectives are absolutely vital. Assess progress, reflect honestly on what worked, what didn't, and adjust your course. Rob Van Linde quotes agile pioneer Woody Zuhl here. If you adopt only one agile practice, let it be retrospectives. Everything else will follow. It really emphasizes that continuous improvement cycle.
Everything else will follow. Powerful quote. Now, you mentioned frameworks. Rob Van Linde also touches on AI's role within agile workflows, right?
Yeah.
It's not totally separate.
No, not at all. He actually frames AI as assisting intelligence within agile practices. It can help. He mentions using custom GPTs AI models trained for specific tasks, like an agile coach GPT to guide teams or a story points estimation and user story refinement GPT to help with planning and defining work.
So AI can actually enhance agile methods, make them work better.
Exactly, making them potentially more efficient, more effective.
Okay, fascinating. So from agile flexibility, let's pivot to digital transformation. How does Rob Van Linde define that massive shift? It feels even broader.
It is broader. He describes it as a social and economic change process driven by digital technologies. But the key is that companies consistently integrate these new techs into their business model, holistically rethinking the entire organization. It's really a complete societal and economic evolution spurred by tech, not just a tech upgrade project.
And why is it so essential? You hear about it everywhere. What are the underlying pressures driving this?
Well, companies are facing very real, very pressing challenges. Think about disruption of old value creation models. Customers demanding everything faster and easier, fierce global competition, huge pressure to innovate just to stay in the game. Plus, employees want more digital tools, remote options, and frankly, traditional hierarchical organizations are just too slow. They can't keep up. Rob Van Linde again points to McKinsey. A staggering 92% of managers believe their business models will fundamentally change because of digital transformation.
92%. That really drives it home for you listening right now, doesn't it? It's not optional.
Not anymore.
But, you know, people often use digitalization and digital transformation almost interchangeably. Is there a meaningful difference or is it just semantics?
Oh, there's a critical distinction. It's key to understanding the depth of this. Rob Van Linde uses a great metaphor. The caterpillar or butterfly. Digitalization is about networking things, automating processes. It makes the caterpillar faster. It's improving what you already do.
Okay, optimizing the current state.
Exactly. But digital transformation, that's a fundamental system change, strategic organizational cultural levels. It's transforming the caterpillar into a butterfly, giving it totally new abilities, new freedoms. It fundamentally changes the company's orientation, how it creates value. So yeah, digitalization optimizes the now, transformation changes the what and how of the business.
That's a fantastic analogy. Caterpillar to butterfly. Makes the difference crystal clear. So what are the goals of becoming this butterfly? What are companies aiming for?
They're pretty ambitious goals. Things like becoming an active shaper of digital change in society, not just reacting.
Yeah.
Strengthening digital competitiveness, obviously. Increasing organizational agility. There's that link back to agile. Fostering high-margin digital business models. Gaining an edge in the war for talent. And establishing IT and digital expertise as a core strategic competency, not just a support function.
Right. IT as a driver, not just a cost center. So to hit those big goals, where does management need to focus? What are the key areas Rob Van Linde identifies for successful digital transformation?
He lays out six critical fields of action needing management attention. First, obviously, strategy. Setting clear directions for the digital future. Where are we going with this? Second, IT digital units. Building strong IT and digital skills as that core competency. And importantly, distinguishing between traditional IT, often infrastructure focused, and the digital experts focused on customer experience, platforms, new business models, and making sure they collaborate seamlessly cross-functionally.
That collaboration piece sounds vital but tricky.
It often is. Third field is organization. Redesigning structures to foster autonomy, networking, moving beyond those rigid departmental silos. This might involve scaled agile frameworks again, or setting up dual organizations where dedicated teams focus only on transformation, separate from the day-to-day. Or maybe agile project organizations. The aim is enabling non-business as usual initiatives.
Okay, strategy, IT digital capability, organization structure. What are the other three?
Fourth is IT systems. Using modern tech, IT, software for automation, data harmonization, these aren't just tools, they're strategic, long-term investments. And they heavily influence organizational design. Think Conway's Law organizations design systems mirroring their communication structures. These systems are the foundation for speed, customer experience, new digital services.
So the tech underpins the new ways of working. Got it. Fifth.
Fifth, innovation. Systematically promoting and demanding innovation, moving beyond just tweaking things, those marginal improvements. Peter Drucker's quote comes to mind. There is nothing so useless as doing efficiently that which should not be done at all. You need real innovation. Strategies here include things like contextual ambidexterity, giving employees dedicated time for new ideas, or establishing intrapreneurs, internal entrepreneurs, or creating separate digital units or labs. The focus is on rapid prototyping, getting customer input early, building minimally viable products, using methods like hackathons, lean startup, design thinking.
Lots of focus there on generating and testing new ideas quickly. What's the sixth field? Feels like we might be coming back to culture.
You guessed it. Sixth. And absolutely crucial, culture, promoting a new culture, openness to trying new things, learning from mistakes sound familiar. Resistance is normal, you have to expect it, but it's vital to appreciate the old while being willing to cut habits that just don't work anymore. Key elements, courage, a good learning and error culture, again, seeing IT digital as strategic drivers, high transparency, consistency in how you manage initiatives, healthy conflict that leads to better solutions, strong focus on outcomes, and trust over control, especially with remote work and autonomy. And managers, they are absolutely key drivers in this cultural shift. It has to be modeled from the top.
It really sounds like it takes a village. It's not just one department's job. So who are the key players needed to make this happen? What ingredients do they need?
You definitely need management setting the tone and direction, IT and digital experts providing the technical and customer know-how, HR and personnel helping with skills and culture change, and specialist experts from across the business contributing their domain knowledge. They all need to work together on these action areas and the essential ingredients. Enough time, this isn't quick. Clear, constant communication. Common process models like Scrum or maybe OKR's objectives and key results. For goal setting and, realistically, appropriate budgets.
Okay, so digital transformation lays a lot of groundwork, leverages new tech, and right now, no tech feels quite as disruptive or fast-moving as AI. Building on that digital foundation, how does Rob Van Linde define this next wave, the AI transformation?
He really emphasizes that AI transformation is about the redesign of business models and organizations based on artificial intelligence. It's about creating that holistic framework for using AI in a way that adds real value. So again, it's not just plugging in AI tools. It's fundamentally reimagining how the business operates because of AI's capabilities.
And where are we seeing AI already making a big impact? Can you give some concrete examples of this transformation in action?
Oh, there are many, and it's growing fast. But prominent examples include things like predictive maintenance, you know, in manufacturing, aviation, anticipating failures before they happen. We see AI models automating content creation, even writing software code now, enhancing financial forecasts, boosting software development efficiency significantly, powering much smarter digital assistants. It's also automating routine tasks, freeing people up, supporting big corporate management decisions with data-driven insights. Generative AI is obviously huge in marketing, creative work, automated customer support, better knowledge management. AI is helping break down those internal knowledge silos.
It's impacting almost every area. Incredible speed. So how do companies actually shape this AI transformation successfully? What are the practical steps Rob and Linda suggest?
He outlines several key steps. First, and this is crucial, understanding the basics of AI. Decision makers don't need to become AI engineers, absolutely not. But they do need a fundamental grasp of how AI works with data structured, unstructured, how it generates content, executes processes, crunches huge data sets incredibly fast, and critically, how it thrives on user input prompts are key. Good prompting is a skill. It's also important, he notes, to acknowledge that all current AI is considered weak AI. We're really only at the beginning of AI development.
Yeah.
That helps set realistic expectations.
Right. Understand what it can and can't do, basically avoid the hype cycle traps. What's the next step strategically?
Second, develop AI strategies. Assess AI's potential impact strategically. Where are the greatest levers in your organization? Identify those critical processes, the bottlenecks, the labor-intensive or error-prone steps that seem ripe for AI. Then you need to assess if AI is truly suitable, calculate a solid business case based on real metrics, and don't be afraid to consult external experts if you lack the internal know-how.
Okay, strategy first. Then how do you actually build out the solutions?
That's the third step. Building AI solutions and own AI assets. Two main paths here. One is leveraging AI that's already integrated into third-party software, think Microsoft Copilot, SAP, embedding AI, etc. That's often the easier starting point. Or for more control and custom solutions, you can build your own technical assets and AI models, maybe leveraging open source projects like Meta's Llama models. This gives you more tailored capabilities, but requires more investment and expertise.
Right, build versus buy, essentially. And what about the people side? We know new tech often brings fear. How does Rob Van Linde address the employee impact?
Yeah, that's absolutely vital. Building competencies and empowering employees is paramount. You have to address the fears head on, the fear that AI will replace jobs. He cites a Deloitte study. About a third of employees are afraid, but interestingly, two-thirds are actually curious, eager to learn. So companies need to create dedicated time and opportunities for employees to experiment, to learn how to use AI effectively for their own benefit and the company's. Ideally, supported by internal AI coaches or maybe an enabling team to guide this upskilling. It's about empowerment, not replacement.
Okay, so we've looked at agile, digital, and AI individually.
Mm-mm.
But now, here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Connecting back to what you said right at the start,
mm-hmm.
How do these three transformations actually weave together? What are the big overarching themes that emerge from Rob Van Linde's work when you look at them collectively?
Well, when you connect all the dots, it becomes just crystal clear that culture is the absolute central foundation. Rob Van Linde is explicit. Every transformation, whether agile, digital, or AI, depends on one key factor, culture, full stop. Without a supportive culture, he says, even the best strategies and technologies will fail. It really boils down to fostering that mindset. Empowered teams, trust, open communication, genuine encouragement of innovation, not just paying lip service to it.
So culture truly is the bedrock for all three. Makes
yeah.
sense. And what about leadership? We touched on managers, but at the C-suite level, is there a synergy needed there?
Absolutely. The sources talk about a powerful trio of chief officers. Their roles complement each other, and their synergy is critical for success. You've got the chief agile officer focusing on embedding agile principles, driving that cultural change, scaling agility. Then the chief digital officer focusing on integrating the digital tech, optimizing processes, fostering the digital first mindset, building those digital pathways. And finally, the chief AI officer developing the AI strategy, ensuring ethical use, and crucially, reskilling the workforce for this AI-driven future.
Okay, three distinct roles.
But here's the key insight. Their roles often overlap and complement one another. It's their collective ability to work together that enables organizations to handle today's complexities and drive real, sustainable growth and innovation. Think about it. A brilliant AI strategy from the CAIO is useless if the chief agile officer hasn't cultivated a culture ready to experiment and maybe fail sometimes, or if the CDO hasn't built the necessary digital infrastructure. They have to be aligned.
Right. It's not just about what each of them does in isolation, but how tightly they sync their efforts. That makes perfect sense. Another theme that kept popping up was innovation and creativity.
Right.
How does that thread connect through all this, especially with AI now in the mix?
Innovation is absolutely vital, yes. And it ties directly into something Rob Van Linde highlights called lateral thinking for innovation.
Yeah.
Basically, lateral thinking is a creativity technique. It aims for new ideas, new solutions by taking unconventional approaches. It's the opposite of linear, logical, step-by-step thinking. It demands out-of-the-box problem solving to break free from old ruts.
Lateral thinking. How does that work in practice? Is it just like brainstorming harder, or is there a method?
It's more structure than just brainstorming. It involves steps. First, really define the problem clearly. Then, consciously change your perspective. Maybe use techniques like De Bono's six thinking hats to look at the issue from multiple angles, factual, emotional, critical, optimistic, etc. Then you generate ideas maybe using brainwriting or mind mapping. But crucially, it involves provocation, using techniques like scamper substitute, combine, adapt, modify, put to another use, eliminate, reverse, to deliberately break entrenched thought patterns. And finally, you evaluate the ideas you generated.
Okay, so it's a deliberate process for disrupting your normal thinking patterns. Why is that so important for companies going through these transformations?
Its significance is huge. It helps overcome those entrenched thought patterns we all fall into. It helps find genuinely out-of-the-box solutions. It really drives innovation. It's also a core part of things like design thinking, which are crucial for successful transformation. And here's the direct link to AI. Prompt engineering, you know, figuring out how to ask AI the right questions to get useful results, that's described as a creative journey. It directly demands lateral thinking and problem-solving skills. You need to think unconventionally to craft effective prompts. Success in AI transformation relies on it.
Wow. Okay, so lateral thinking isn't just a nice-to-have for creativity workshops. It's becoming a core skill for leveraging AI effectively. So wrapping this all up, what does this deep dive into Rob Van Linde's insights really mean for you, the listener? It signifies that transformation isn't just about buying new tech or tweaking a process chart. It's a continuous, deeply interconnected journey. You absolutely need an adaptable culture, you need visionary and collaborative leadership, and you need a real willingness to embrace new, sometimes weird, unconventional ways of thinking. That seems paramount.
Mm-hmm.
It's also pretty clear that AI really is the natural next step. Mm. It builds on the flexibility Agile brings and the efficiency digital enables. It kind of amplifies what those transformations started.
Right. It leverages those foundations.
And here's the kicker, the real takeaway maybe. The AI transformation won't wait for you.
Mm.
There's an urgency here. The earlier you start your organization down this path, the bigger your head start, the stronger your position will be.
Absolutely. And this, I think, raises a really important question for you to ponder after this discussion. Considering these deep interdependencies, we've talked about agile needing culture, digital needing agility, AI needing digital foundations, and lateral thinking, and the critical role of creativity across all of them, how might fostering an experimental mindset, that willingness to try things, and perhaps more importantly, the ability to skillfully mix and merge different frameworks and methodologies, not being dogmatic about one approach, how might that become the ultimate continuous advantage? Enabling organizations to constantly redefine what they are and what they can become, something to reflect on. How could you cultivate those skills, that mindset, right where you are in your own context?